Thank God for being here today. Thank God for being on the Lord's side. Thank God for being saved. God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. I'm happy to be here today. Amen. I really enjoyed the praise service. Amen. And you know, as I was sitting there, I was thinking, you know, I would just like to thank the praise team and Brother Fred and our one-man band back there. Amen. I just like to thank you all because, you know, I know Fred and I know what it's like to have to prepare to get up here, but you guys, you know, we've been switching on and off. You guys gotta, every week, you guys gotta be ready. And it takes preparation, it takes sacrifice of your time, and you guys just do such a wonderful job. I mean, just, that was just beautiful today. So I just wanted to say thank you. I thank God for you all. I thank God that, you know, it really makes speaking the word of God a lot easier when you guys set the table like that. You know, you guys set the atmosphere to the point where I'm not thinking about my troubles. I'm not thinking about what I got to do when I get out of here. I'm not thinking about what happened last week. All I'm thinking about is how good God is right now. And my ears are wide open and my heart is wide open to what he has to say. And that's because you all helped put me in that mindset. You all put me in that place because whatever I had to do to get here, once I got here, that's what I was able to take in. And it's just such a blessing. And I know sometimes you might feel like, well, we just do what we do. We do the best we can and, you know, whatever. But it's not whatever. It's like really, it's a blessing. It's a really big deal. It's just so awesome to be able to just usher in God's presence the way we do. Amen? You guys are to be commended. You know, we give God all the glory, but we just thank God that you allow him to use you as a vessel. Amen? There's nothing like singing for the Lord, playing music for the Lord. I mean, you could play secular songs, you could sing secular songs, but when you're doing it for the Lord, there's just something. There's that, excuse me, there's that feeling on the inside that you don't get from singing a secular song or playing a secular song. It's that Holy Spirit that is a part of that. And I love music. I love sports. I love music. I just thank God for music. Music does so much for you. Amen. And, you know, I don't know about you, but these songs that we sing here on Sunday morning, I find myself singing during the week or humming during the week, and I don't even know where it came from, but it's just in me because it's still resonating from Sunday. And you know, it's, you know, what a beautiful thing it would be to, as you're going, because once we get into the week, everything's hectic, right? Everything gets crazy. We're going to work. We're dealing with our families. We're dealing with our issues. We're dealing with our finances, all these different things. But to have those songs running through our minds and running through our hearts, it just kind of helps us to stay where we got to be. Amen? I was thinking, you know, when I was seeking, you know, I said, Lord, what do we want to talk about today, you know? And he, you know, I was thinking of different things, and he said, you know, just pick up where you left off. And you know, the last time I spoke, we talked about that avenue or that fork in the road that we face every day of following after the Spirit or following after the flesh. Amen. The Bible tells us to, if you mind the things of the flesh, you'll walk after the flesh. If you mind the things of the Spirit, you'll walk after the Spirit. And God wants us to walk after the Spirit. And all of that takes place or is enabled by a made-up mind. Amen? And I started thinking about, you know, different songs that we used to sing back in the day, and You know, one of the songs, I don't know, they might have even made it up. I don't even know if it's a song, but it was just like, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on the Lord. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's all there was to the song. And like I said, I don't even know if that, they made up a lot of songs back in the day. So, you know, it might have been a made up song, but we made it into a choir song. And, you know, I wish Brother Mike was out here because my part in the choir, you know, I had to sing tenor back then. And, you know, the song was like, I woke up this morning with my mind, and tenors would be like, my mind was stayed on Jesus. Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind was stayed on the Lord. So we made it into a whole choir song. But I find myself a lot of times thinking about that song and singing that song. And, you know, if we woke up every morning thankful, give God the praise, if we woke up with our minds stayed on Jesus, what a better day we would have. Amen? And then I think about that song. I think you all sing it, the Donnie McClurkin song that, what is it? The one, the Jamaican one, you like the part of it. I've got my mind. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Amen. All right, Brian. All right. Stay in your lane, brother. Amen. He knows I love him, so I could mess with him like that. Amen. But you know what? We need to, those are the type of things we need to remind ourselves of those things. Amen. Because, you know, in sports, they say, you know, like in football, they say the battle is won where? In the what? In the trenches, they say. The battle is won in the trenches. They'll say, you know, the battle is won between the lines. Well, our battle is won and lost right here. Amen? We got to guard our minds. Our minds have to be our own personal gated community. Amen? Our minds are our own personal gated community. You decide what you will let in and let out. Amen? You decide what will come, what you will entertain and what you will let go. Our mind is so important to our walk. Amen? The mind is such a powerful, powerful thing. We've got so many examples of miraculous things that people were able to do because of their mind. Amen. It, you know, that's why you've been here since you were little. People have been telling you can do anything that you put your mind to. Amen. Because let me tell you something. Somebody with a made-up mind is somebody to be dealt with. Amen. They are determined. They will not let anything get in their way. If you have a made-up mind, you will keep going. And you won't give up if you got a made-up mind. Amen? The devil knows this. That's why, that's where he tries to mess you up, in your mind. He knows there's nothing he can do to keep you from loving Jesus, because Jesus did something for you that nobody else could do. So he can't mess with that. All he can do is keep you from living the life that Jesus died for you to live while you're down here. And he wants to discourage you to the point where you'll think that maybe there's nothing to that mess, and I just give up, or I just don't believe it anymore, so that you can go where he's going. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the only place he can mess with you is in your mind. I read this book every day. It's called Jesus Always. And I got a couple days behind, so I just read some days in a row. And I just wanted to share it with you. And I want to tell you, this is commentary. Amen? It's not Bible. So whenever I read commentary or I read things that aren't Bible, I look at it like a buffet. Amen? I take what I think I can use, and if there's something that I just leave it alone. But I just wanted to share. This was really good stuff. So it said, the first day that I started reading, it says, strive to live more fully in the present, refusing to worry about tomorrow. Many of us squander days worrying about tomorrow, squander opportunities worrying about tomorrow, squander blessings that are right in front of you worrying about tomorrow. And the Bible says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for what? Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Right? And the Bible also tells us that tomorrow is not promised to any one of us. So why you worry about tomorrow, you don't even know if you're going to get there. And many times we miss out on things by not being in the present. Amen? How many conversations do you have with people throughout the day and you don't even remember what just happened there? You know, we were talking about, because your mind was somewhere else. And I know as parents, a lot of times we miss out on opportunities with our children because our children are telling us stuff, but our mind is somewhere else and we weren't in the present and we missed out on a message. Amen? Husband and wives do the same thing. They miss out on things because they're having a conversation, but their minds are somewhere else. We got to practice on being present. Like right now, y'all shouldn't be thinking about what you're going to eat later. And I know some of y'all are. But you shouldn't be doing that right now. Because right now you're here. Right now you're in the church. Right now you're in God's house. And you should be present in God's house, listening and being a part of what's going on. It's essential to resist the temptation to worry. Worry is a cancer. It eats away at our lives. It eats away at our mind. It eats away at our heart. It eats away at our lives. Worry is like that Pac-Man game. It just eating everything on its way. Worry will keep us from getting a good night's rest. Worry will break our bodies physically down. Worry. And most of the things we worry about, we have no control over. But we do it anyway. But it's essential to resist the temptations to worry. You live in a fallen world full of sin and struggles. You will never run short of things that can provoke anxiety. In other words, there's always something to worry about. You'll never run short of things to worry about. Amen? There's a whole plethora of things you can worry about. However, remember that each day, like the Bible says, has enough trouble of its own. This says that Jesus carefully calibrates the amount of difficulty you will encounter on a given day. He says, I know exactly how much you can handle with my help, and I'm always near, ready to strengthen, encourage, and comfort you. Amen? It says, pursuing a close walk with me is the best way to live in the present. Keep bringing your thoughts back to me whenever they wander. Return to me joyfully. I take great delight in you and rejoice over you with singing. This other day says, stop your incessant worry planning. Stop your incessant worry planning. Draw your mind back from the future to the present moment, where my presence lovingly awaits you. Seek my face with a smile in your heart, knowing that I take delight in you. Talk with me about all that concerns you and the tasks that are weighing on you. Instead of worrying so much about a situation, talk to God about it. Share it with him. Again, it goes back to the prayer we prayed today. Make your request known unto God. He knows what you're going through, but he wants a communication. He wants an open line of communication. When you ask him to help you through a situation, he knows that you're depending on him and not yourself or anybody else. And when you depend on him, he gets great delight in that. Anybody that's a parent in here, you know that feeling you felt when your child comes to you and says, I need your help? You love to help people that you love, right? If your child comes to you and says, Mom, I need your help with something, I'm struggling with something, oh, praise God, I'm so happy that you came to me, right? That's how God is with us. He's our Father. He wants us to come to him and lay it out there for him. I'm struggling with this, Lord. I don't know how to deal with this, Lord. I'm worried about this, Lord. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to make it known to you. That's all right. I got you. We can do this. Just keep coming to me. I'll help you through it. It ain't going to be easy, but we can get through it. And he's going to say, you remember when you were in that hard spot before and I got you through that? Well, I can get you through this too. Amen. There's nothing too hard for me. He's going to remind you of all these things. If I before you, who can be against you? You're not in this alone. I'm with you. I'm right by your side. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do you see how much better that is than worrying about something you can't control? Incessantly? Thank you, Jesus. He says, talk with me about all that concerns you and the tasks that are weighing on you. Call out to me for help as you set your priorities according to my will. Set your priorities according to his will. You see, we like to make our priorities, but sometimes it's to our will. Go over those priorities and make sure they line up with his will. Because if they don't line up with his will, they probably won't succeed. Amen? Then, he says, keep returning your focus to me and to the work at hand. Inviting me into your activities increases your joy and helps you to be more effective. Have you ever tried it? Have you ever tried, say, inviting God into your activities? Whether you're working, whether you're exercising, whether you're just going, driving, whatever you're doing during the day, just asking God, say, you know, just talking to him and inviting him into your activities? Try it. Try it. You'll become more effective when you invite him into your activities, when you invite him into your home. Amen. When you need to take a break, remember that I am your resting place. My everlasting arms are always available to support you and hold you close.
When you relax in my company, waiting with me for a time, this demonstrates genuine trust in me. And we all know how important trust is in a relationship. Thank you, Jesus. As you prepare to return to your task after your time of rest, make the effort to include me in your plans. This protects you from worrying. It also helps you to stay close to me, and when you're close to me, you can enjoy my presence, saith the Lord. See, we got a problem with doing everything our way or doing everything the way we think it should be done, and then when we mess it up, then we want to invite him in. Then we want to call on him. Then we want to cry out to him. He's saying, instead of messing it up first and then coming to me, make me part of it from the beginning. Include me from the beginning, and we won't get to that point because I won't let you. Amen? He says, I am training you not only to endure difficulties, your difficulties, but to transform them into glory. This is a supernatural feat, and it requires the help of my supernatural spirit. When problems are weighing heavily on you, your natural tendency is to speed up your pace of living. You know how we do that? We get in a hurry when things are going wrong for us. We tend to panic. We tend to make decisions, knee-jerk decisions is what the world calls it. Amen? In the business world, you know, when sales are down, they say everybody's puking and panicking. Right? It's like we're doing the same things we've always done, but because sales are down, something's got to be wrong. Something's got to be done. No. It's just the way it is right now. So our natural tendency is to speed up our pace of living, frantically searching for answers. But what you need at such times is to slow down and seek my face. You know that scripture that says, be still and know that I am God. You see, the reason why I like that so much is because we make a lot of our decisions, we base a lot of our things on our feelings or on our thoughts. But it's not about what you think or about what you feel. It's about what you know. And God says, be still and what? Know that I am God. You see, when things get a little hectic in our lives, when things get a little tough in our lives, we don't need to speed up. We need to slow down. Take a step back. Again, talk to God about it. Invite him into the chaos, if you will. And watch, won't he smooth things out for you? He does it every time. Thank you, Jesus. He says, slow down and seek my face. And you know, one of the things that we struggle with today is we got so many different things vying for our attention. Amen? With these cell phones, with social media, with you know, all the things that we got so many different things vying for our attention, stimulating our brains. God says, slow down and seek my face. Invite the Spirit to help you as you discuss your difficulties with me. Invite the Spirit. Imagine that. You're in a tough situation. You're going through a tough time. You don't know what to do. You've done everything that you know you've been taught to do. You know, you've done everything that you feel like you know to do, and things don't seem to be getting better. How about talking to somebody who can do something to help you? How about inviting the Holy Spirit to lead you, guide you, and direct you? Tell God about it and see what happens. How about that? Huh? How about that?
No, we just want to worry. We just want to worry more. It's not getting any better. I don't know why it's not getting any better. It may never get any better. You call up this one, it's not getting any better. This one, not getting any better. All I can see is, you know, the circumstances, the things that are, the challenges that are in front. It's not getting any better. I don't see how it's going to get any better. Is it going to get any better? Those are the conversations we have instead of stepping back and say, Lord, I need your help. I know that you can help me. I know that that you're the source of my strength, that you're the lover of my soul. I know that you love me so much that you died for me. So you see me going through this right now, Lord. I don't have the answers. I've done everything I know to do. I've prayed. I've done this. I've done. Lord, I need your help. Lord, this is a situation. Now let me be still and wait while you help me work it out. Invite the Spirit to help you as you discuss your difficulties with me. Then lay your request before me and wait in expectation. There's a difference between waiting and waiting in expectation. Because when you're waiting in expectation, you're expecting an answer. You're expecting a change. You're expecting God to do it for you. And he loves that. He loves that. Because you're putting faith in him. I know you can help me through this. I know you can work this out. I'm laying it before you and I'm expecting an answer. And while you wait, look at somebody and say, in the meantime. While you wait, take the focus off yourself for just a couple minutes. And think about praying for somebody. Think about asking the Lord, what can I do for you, Lord? While all your mess is going on, take your mind off of yourself for just a minute. Leave your mess there because you've already talked to him about it. You've already put it in his hands. Leave it there. While you're waiting, in the meantime, take your mind off of yourself. Pray for somebody else. Visit somebody else. Give somebody a call. Do something encouraging for somebody else instead of staying so focused on your mess. You know, when you take your mind off of the thing that you're so worried about and you start doing something for somebody else, by the time you come back to it, that thing ain't half as bad as it used to be. God's already working on that thing for you. You've already laid it in front of him. While you wait. Even though you wait expectantly, listen to this, I may not answer your prayers quickly. Hello? I know that we live in a world where you can get information, you can get food, you can get anything you want at a snap, but God ain't trying to change his ways for this world. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's going to do what he's going to do. He's sovereign. He'll be what he's going to be. He will answer what he's going to answer. He will do what's best for you. All you need to know is that whatever he decides is best for you. That's what you have to convince yourself of. That's what you have to believe. You have to understand that he loves you. Do you believe that anybody loves you more than God? I mean, I know you say, oh, my husband loves me, my wife loves me, my kids love me. They don't love you more than God. I'll tell you that right now. Nobody loves you more than God. So if you don't believe that he has your best interest in mind, we got a problem. So, whatever he decides to do about your situation, it's what's best for you. And guess what? He don't always answer right away.
We can all say amen to that. Amen? Sometimes he does. Sometimes he'll give it to you right away. Boom, this is what we got to do. Let's move on. Sometimes he'll make you wait. You know why? Because he wants to teach you something in the meantime. I don't like waiting, God. I want to get it straightened out right now. He's got some things. He wants to mold you a little more. Amen? You're that clay that's in his hands. He wants to mold you just a little more. He wants to show you what you're capable of. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to give you a deeper testimony. He wants you to understand what it's like to wait on him and just live in his presence so that when you get to the other side, you can say, oh, man, God is a good God. And you can share your testimony with somebody else. So he may not answer your prayers quickly. He says, I am always doing something important in your life, far beyond simply solving your problems. Amen? I say it all the time, God is not an errand boy. All right? It's not all about you, believe it or not. I know it's hard to believe, but it's really not all about you. There's a whole bunch of people that God's taking care of. Amen? And I know when you're going through it, there ain't nobody more important than my situation. But it's not about you. He's always doing something important in your life beyond solving your problems. Your struggles are part of a much larger battle. And the way you handle them can contribute to outcomes with eternal significance. When you respond to your troubles by trusting me and praying with thanksgiving, you glorify me. Moreover, your practice of praying persistently will eventually make a vast difference in you, my loved one, crowned with glory. Rejoice, beloved, because my sacrifice on the cross absorbed all your guilt, past, present, and future. How about that? Did you hear what I just said? Jesus says, my sacrifice on the cross absorbed all your guilt, past, present, and future. What do you call that, Fred? What's that G word that you like to talk about all the time? Grace. Amen? Grace. Listen to this. There is no condemnation for those who are in me. Your guilt-free status as my follower is a good reason to be joyful each day of your life. So when you say, well, I ain't got nothing to be happy about, I ain't got nothing to praise God, I ain't got nothing to be joyful about today, yes, you do. Your sins are forgiven, and that's something to be joyful about. I don't care what else is going on in your life. I don't care what else is going on in your life. You were guilty as charged, and you're guilt-free now because of him. That's something to give God praise about. Amen? We live in a day now where everybody wants to do points, right? At the gas station, at the, when you buy online, you get points, and you build up points, and they just want you to buy more from them, buying from them. Right, you got all kinds of things on your chain, right? Points, right? And when you get enough points, we'll give you a little bone, okay? Just keep coming to us and spending points, right? Right? Brother Fred, your points have measured up to, I want to let you know that today you have been given guilt-free status in Jesus Christ our Lord. Huh? You know, they got different levels. They got gold. They got all these different things. You're the gold. You have been given guilt-free. Walk around and say, I got guilt-free status in Jesus Christ our Lord. See, y'all don't get that. You don't understand. You really, because if you really understood what that meant, you'd be jumping up and down right now. Because Your sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. Oh my goodness. I've been given guilt-free status. And guess what? That doesn't give me the leeway to go sin all I want. It allows me to try to comprehend what that is and just want to serve God more and more and more. Your guilt-free status as my follower is good reason to be joyful each day of your life. Ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden, mankind's worst problem has been what? Sin. My sacrificial death provided the solution to this terrible problem. The gospel really is the good news. I took your sin. I became sin for you. And I gave you my perfect righteousness. They call that amazing grace. Amen? Think about that transaction. He took our sin and he gave us righteousness. That's an unfair exchange. Run as fast as you can because you got over. It's almost like, you know, sometimes the banks mess up and they accidentally put money in your account and you'd be like, ooh, where'd that come from? But don't keep that because they end up getting you back. Okay? We got a banker over there, you know. Don't run with that money because it ain't yours. But you've been given, it's an unfair exchange. You got over. You deserved so much worse. You deserve death. And God said, go, run the race that I set before you to run. I want you to learn to enjoy more fully your guilt-free standing in my kingdom. Through me, the law of the Spirit of life set you free. This is not an invitation to dive into a sinful lifestyle. Instead, I'm inviting you to live joyously, reveling in the glorious privilege of belonging to me forever. This is your true identity. That's who you really are. And it makes every moment of your life meaningful. So many people walk around saying, I don't, you know, even say, folks, what do I have to live for? My life is just a mess. No, your life is meaningful. You've got so much to live for. God has done so much just for you. He forgave you of all your sin, past, present, and future. You're a child of God. You're the child of the King. You're that prodigal son that left the kingdom, went and did all his mess, and came back, and God said, come on, let's have a party. Thank you, Jesus. That's me. That's you. Thank you, Jesus. You have so much to live for. If he don't do nothing else for you, and he will, trust me, if he don't do nothing else for you, he's done more than enough. To give you a joyous life, to keep you out of depression, to keep you where your mind stayed, where your mind needs to be, but your mind has got to be made up. Your mind's got to be stayed on Jesus. If you do that, the Bible says he will keep you in perfect peace. How do we keep our minds on Jesus? When we wake up in the morning, we need to thank him, we need to praise him, and we need to include him in our lives. God ain't just about Sunday morning. He's about Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays. He's about every day of the week. Don't make him a Sunday God. He's an all-time God. He can help you in the middle of the night on Tuesday morning. He can help you deep in the morning on Wednesday. He can be there at dinner time anytime you need him. Call on him. I'll be there, he says. It don't matter what time. Listen, you call me, you might not get me, but God will be there every single time, ready, willing, and able. to help you in your situation. Thank you, Jesus. Even some of the messes that we brought upon ourselves, even some of the struggles that we brought upon ourselves, he don't come with a pointed finger and say, I told you so. He comes with open arms and he says, come on, let's make it right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He don't do like your friends and family. He don't say, I told you so. He said, come on, brother, get on up and let's go. Come on, sister, get on up and let's go. I love you. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If we want to stop worrying so much, if we want to stop, you know, this incessant worrying, if we want to stop all the chaos in our lives, we need to include him more. We need to include him more. And we talk to him just like we talk to each other. Amen. God loves when you include him. He loves when you call on him. Sometimes we feel like, God, I've been calling on you so much. He says, no, just keep it coming. Just keep it coming. Call on me all you want, day or night. Keep calling on me. Make your requests known unto me. You have not because you ask not. Put your pride aside and include him in your life. Include him in your relationships. Include him in whatever it is that your life consists of. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes you just need to be still and know that he's God. Wait on him. Be of good courage. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God is a good God. God is a loving God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There ain't nobody like Jesus. There ain't nobody like Jesus. Can nobody do you like Jesus? Can nobody fix it like Jesus? Can nobody do it like Jesus? I dare you to call on him. I dare you to include him. Cry out to him and say, Jesus, I need your help. Fix it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I'm standing in the need of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Nobody like Jesus. That's why they say there's something about that name. There's just something about that name that if you call it softly or if you call it loudly, when you call on Jesus, thank you, Lord. Jesus, the lover of your soul. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Come on, somebody just say, Jesus. Hey, glory. Hey, glory. Jesus. He's the way out. He's the way over. Jesus, he is the truth and the life. No other way to the Father but through him. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, oh yes. There's something about that name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Thank you, Jesus. Call on him. Call on him. Call on him, Jesus. Oh, glory. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Let us stand. Let us stand. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, glory. Glory to God. Our very present help in the time of need. Thank you, Jesus. Our rock.